Good day, and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow full year 2017 financial business results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena Finashnya. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are happy to welcome you today to announcement of full year 2017 financial results call of Credit Bank of Moscow. Thank you for following our performance. Our traditional speakers today will be CEO of the bank, Vladimir Chubay, who will start the discussion from a brief highlight of the key financial and business results of the previous year, and Eric Debosham, Senior Vice President of CBM, who will present in detail the financial performance of the bank. Our presentation will be followed by a traditional Q&A session, and you are welcome to jump in with any questions. Now I turn the floor over to our first speaker. Vladimir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Elena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today at Credit Bank of Moscow full year 2017 financial results announcement. Last year was full of challenges for the banking sector on one hand, and also great opportunities for the strongest market players on the other hand. CBM traditionally manages to take advantage of the market even during turbulent periods, and last year was not an exception. We grew our balance sheet, we improved risk metrics, we acquired status of a systemically important bank, we significantly strengthened our capital, we gained leadership in the international markets among Russian banks. All this was achieved against volatile macro background, putting banking sector under pressure of both internal and external factors. Decreasing interest rates and tightening competition, constraining margins, large-scale enforcement in the banking system provoking nervosity, sanctions and compliance issues bringing in uncertainty, sluggish economic growth, challenging active diversified development. Our financial results serve as evidence of our success in addressing all the mentioned issues, and we are happy to report today on strong development of the bank. I suggest that we start from slide number two. Profit increased by almost two times comparing to full year 2016 and reached 20.7 billion rubles following business expansion and risk metrics improvement. Profit growth is also supported by traditionally excellent operating efficiency with a cost-to-income ratio of 26.8%. Net interest income as well as net fee and commission income have demonstrated growth of over 12% each, with the fee income gaining more weight in the operating result of the bank in line with our strategy. Net interest margin has improved in the last quarter of 2017, with the full year result of  2.9% remaining slightly below 2016 ratio in the context of a higher liquidity buffer in the assets and a downward trend in the interest rates. Net interest margin on average risk-weighted assets has marginally increased to 4.5%, being relatively stable during last year. Return on average equity reached almost 18%, being consistently at high teens level during last year. Loans to customers increased by 22.8% from the end of 2016, and this growth comes from the corporate loan book with a focus on larger corporates. NPL ratio is stable at 2.4%, with the cost of risk having decreased to 2.5% from 4.6% for the full year 2016. General portfolio risk metrics keep on improving in line with the general market trends, with only one name from industrial construction sector having visible effect on the NPL ratio in the last quarter of the last year. Strong capital position was supported by quite a few capital raising exercises last year, including Tier 1 and Tier 2 instruments. Tier 1 ratio increased to 15% from 9.4% following 14 billion rubles SPO on Moscow Exchange in October last year, and also $700 million perpetual Eurobonds placement in May. Total capital adequacy ratio of 23.4% is now one of the strongest in the market following receipt of 22 billion rubles subordinated deposits from corporate customers and placement of $600 million Tier 2 Eurobonds in April 2017. Now let's move to the next slide for the business update. Growth of the corporate loan portfolio was almost 30% last year, bringing its book value to 731 billion rubles. Our lower risk appetite in retail business are evidenced by 13% decrease in the retail loan book last year. Composition of the loan book in terms of the business lines has changed during 2017 in favor of higher weight of corporate business, which now makes roughly 19% of total loans. Such explicit migration is totally in line with our strategy and reflects our focus on top quality large corporate clients. Sector breakdown of corporate loans also evidences our priorities in terms of focus on larger corporates from less risky segments. Oil production, trade and refineries dominate in the loan book with 25% and 18% weights, respectively. Other large contributors are residential construction making 8% of loans, automotive sector making 7%, property rental and food and farm standing at 6% each. In retail business, our priorities remain unchanged, with the cash loans and mortgages forming 72 and 23% of total retail loans, respectively. Our product mix and capabilities to serve individual needs of our clients, especially large ones, have significantly improved with the development of the investment banking business on the platform of CBM, starting from the second half of last year. With the new experienced team headed by my deputy Oleg Burunov, we expect this new business line to become a new growth driver, both in terms of business volumes and profitability, and to bring substantial synergies to our corporate and retail business. Now I am pleased to pass the floor to Eric for a more detailed financial results review. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vladimir. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So I would like to draw your attention on slide number 4 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expenses, which show the positive dynamics in the year 2017. As you can see on the top left diagram, operating income increased by 6% year-on-year, reflecting an expansion of lending business volumes. This increase was coupled with positive changes in operating income structure, the input of net interest and fee and commission income increased from 88 to 93% year-on-year, which is very representative, especially at the backdrop of increased competition in the banking sector and reduction of interest rates. Decreasing deposit rates provided support to the net interest income, as the maturity of deposit base is shorter than maturity of loans. In the amount of other net operating income, two significant one-off deals are accounted. The first one is the early redemption of the subordinated Eurobond due in 2018, which had a negative impact on the operating income. The second one is a profit generated by the sale in December 2017 of our subsidiary CBM Ireland Leasing Limited, an SPV which was established for operating leasing of aircraft. On the left bottom diagram, we see that the net fee and commission income increased by 12% year-on-year, retaining its shares in total operating income. Increased competition made the expansion of fee and commission income more challenging for the bank. The increase is mainly due to brokerage income from our investment banking business line, which was launched in 2017. As you can see on the upper right diagram, operating expenses increased slightly by 12% year-on-year. The growth was mainly due to employees' remuneration that increased to 9.5 billion rubles due to payment of annual bonuses. In cooperation, in 2016, the bank did not pay bonuses. And also the establishment of investment banking division that implied attraction of new qualified headcounts from the market. Sound operating income, coupled with low administrative expenses, enabled the bank to maintain the cost-to-income ratio at a low level of 26.8%. The net interest margin trend is presented on the bottom right diagram. The net interest margin remains under pressure as, firstly, the bank is still maintaining a significant part of its assets in low-risk, highly liquid instruments. And secondly, increased competition on the market puts pressure on interest rates. As you can see, during the reporting period, the NIM decreased from 3.3% to 2.9%. Meanwhile, the calculation of the net interest income as a percentage of the average risk-weighted assets shows a 4.5% level, which is stable and in line with the market average. Now, I suggest turning to slide number 5 with a breakdown of total assets. In the reporting period, total assets grew by 20%. In absolute terms, the net loan book showed an increase of 23% in comparison to December 16, and liquid assets, including cash and cash equivalents, due from credit institutions and securities portfolio, grew by 21%. The loan portfolio growth was mainly driven by the increased contribution of larger corporates from the oil and chemical segments. One of the main instruments of liquidity management are repo transactions, which amounted to 802 billion rubles and are backed by highly quality securities that are included in the CBR Lombard list. The coverage of repo deals by collateral is maintained at a level of 115%. And as you can see on the graph, additional unused liquidity sources amounted to 419 billion rubles as 1st of March 2018. Now let's move to slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. The portfolio risk metrics show positive dynamics on a year-on-year basis, with some fluctuation within the year that does not affect the improving trend. As described in the upper left diagram, the loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance increased to 6.1%, while gross loan portfolio stabilized at the level of 819 billion rubles. As shown on the upper right diagram, during the fourth quarter of 2017, the loan loss provision grew from 44 billion rubles to 50 billion rubles. The loan portfolio quality keeps improving, except for three big corporates that drove the increase of loan provision. The first customer is an industrial and infrastructure construction company, which was shown in impaired not overdue bucket at the end of 2016 and moved to the NPL category during the last quarter of 2017. Secondly, the increase of impaired not overdue loans category was mainly due to one corporate customer operating on the pharmaceutical industry. Finally, the deterioration of financial situation of a company operating in the car industry led to its exposure moving from the impaired not overdue to the 30 days overdue category during the last quarter of 2017. Obviously, the bank is still closely monitoring these three companies. The bottom left diagram shows year-on-year decrease of cost of risk from 4.6% at the end of 2016 down to 2.5% at the end of 2017, with at the same time a flat NPL ratio. The bottom right diagram depicts the level of related party lending that is low and stabilized at a level of 2.8% of the total gross loan book. Now, I suggest turning to slide number 7 with more details on corporate and retail portfolio risk metrics. Corporate gross loan book increased from 566 to 731 billion rubles at the end of 2016 and 17 respectively. The quality of the loan portfolio keeps improving. That is confirmed by cost of risk level decreased down to 2.3% and provision charge that was 14.9 billion rubles in 2017 compared to 22.6 ruble in 2016. The increase of NPL ratio and connected LLP ratios deterioration is due to separate corporate customers, as I just mentioned before. On the right, the retail loan book NPL demonstrates a continuing downward trend and decreased to 5.7% at the end of 2017 on the backdrop of controlled loan portfolio reduction to 88 billion rubles. The cost of risk also decreased notably to 3.9%, to be compared with 6.5% at the end of last year, as a result of improvement of retail loan book quality. The next slide, number 8, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities increased by 17% to 1.7 trillion rubles. The deposit base, which accounts for 55% of liabilities, showed positive dynamics in the reporting period. Corporate deposits grew by 48% to 651 billion rubles. At the same time, retail deposits increased by 17% to 291 billion rubles. Deposits by credit institutions were mainly represented by repo transactions, while securities provided as collateral under repo amounted to 631 billion rubles, and the value of these securities comprised 118% of the underlying value of such deals. Bonds repayment schedule is comfortable for the bank, with the bulk of international debt due after the year 2020. The maturity schedule is now even more favorable after the placement of 500 million USD senior Eurobond in the beginning of February 18. This new issuance was realized with a 5.5 coupon rate, being the lowest in the bank's Eurobond production history, and among all 5-year Eurobond issued by Russian privately owned banks. Now let's proceed to the final slide, number 9, on the bank's capital. The year 2017 was very active for the bank in terms of capital raising, with significant transactions closed this year. During the fourth quarter of 2017, the bank realized an SPO on the Moscow Stock Exchange and attracted subordinated deposits from corporate customers. As a result, the bank closed the year with comfortable capital position, allowing to fulfill the new capital buffers applicable to the systemically important banks from January 18, and to ensure further business growth. It's also worth mentioning that the 8.7% N11 capital adequacy ratio, as at 1st of March 18, does not include Russian profit for the fourth quarter of 2017, which will be reflected in the Common Equity Tier 1 capital after the completion of audit of Russian accounting figures. These were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for the full year 2017. Thank you very much for your attention. And now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Julia Di Mambro from Federated. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Vladimir. Hi, Eric. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a few questions, please. First, on your asset quality, would you be able to give us a little bit more detail on those three exposures that you mentioned during your presentation? What sort of level of provision coverage have you now built up, and what's the outlook for 2018? And generally, what sort of cost of risk do you expect for 2018? That's my first question. My second question is on your liquidity.
Sorry, because it's better to just to answer one by one, because when you finish with the second,
sure,
I'll forget the first one. So the first question, much more about our forecast in terms of the asset quality. So currently we're expecting 2018 will be in line with last year in terms of cost of risk. We expect in the level of 2% to maybe a bit more than 2%. But it will depend much more on the general situation in the Russian economy and the situation with the, let's say, sanctions, the all these topics which really now, let's say, discussing by all the people in Russia and also abroad. So in terms of the coverage of the provisions to the loan portfolio, we're also expecting to keep it on the same level. So we are not in a position to cover it more because we feel the current level is comfortable for the bank to cover potential risks. And also, I didn't hear your question about the, let's say, NPLs and what was the reason to increase the NPLs in the last quarter. But also, I was asked this question by another investor. They're just one company, and we are now in a very deep process just to solve this issue. And I think that with the next maybe few weeks, these troubles will be covered, and this company will be paid or sold or something like this. So it's not a big problem for the bank.
Understood, thank you. And then just on the pharmaceuticals exposure that you mentioned, which is now impaired but not past due, what's your outlook for that exposure? And then the third one, which I missed, well, which industry was the third exposure in? The one that's now past due by 30 days.
It's construction, in infrastructural construction. Or the third one?
The third one is
it's a car dealer which discussing now in media every day.
And what sort of resolution do you expect for the farmer loan and the car dealer?
No, the car dealer, actually, I think that the situation now is not under our control. It's much more under control of another big Russian bank, which has much higher exposure and which is trying to do something now with this company. So we feel that current provision level, which we formed in last quarter of last year, it's covering our losses. In terms of pharmaceutical company, I think you're all familiar with this situation because it was highlighted in information you can receive from rating agencies who is covering us. And also, we had to make a higher provision with this company on last quarter. We are not expecting that potentially it can be much, much higher, but also we are not in a position to overestimate or underestimate the potential influence which this loan can have on our balance sheet. So now we are trying to understand what is the best way to work with this company. Also, maybe you read the information that CBM had some pressure on the company, so they changed the management. So of course, it's not because CBM, but maybe it's because we asked the shareholders many questions about their future of the company, about the potential of the company, so that's why they made the decision to change the management. But at the same time, we're also not in a position to say that it's just a loss for the bank because company is doing better than last year. So, I mean, in 2017, we saw some improvements. And you had a question about liquidity, you said.
Yes, thanks very much for that. Just on your liquidity, so I've seen headlines that you've recently raised a $400 million syndicated loan, and I just wanted to understand the purpose of doing that, because it looks to me like you still have a lot of liquidity, and that if anything, it's actually increased in Q4 if we look at your cash balance. So if you could share a bit more on that syndicated loan and what you will use the proceeds for, and what was the cost and the term of that loan?
Yes, thank you for the question. There is many reasons why we decided to continue our cooperation in terms of syndications with international banks. First of all, of course, we want to be usual participant in this market, and we want just all the banks who decided to participate to cover us, to look at our risk, and just not to forget about us. In terms of business reason, you're absolutely right that the bank has a lot of cash on hands, but it's also important to mention that big part of the cash we have, it's a short-term money we have from our customers, and of course, if you're talking about the syndication, it's much more stable funding for us. Also, we should not forget about the foreign currencies in our balance sheet and our liability side. I think you're also familiar with the fact that we have some assets which has US dollars or euros as a currency, and of course to fund these assets for us it's better to raise dollars or euros, not to make swap operations which can have extra pressure on the capital or which can bring some extra expenses to the bank. In terms of the price we pay for this, we cannot disclose this because this information is not public. It's the part of our agreement, and this deal is not public, part of the agreement with the participants. But as we said, the price is lower than it was ever before.
And also it's worth mentioning that so we attracted this syndicate, but at the same time in March we repaid for the existing syndicate, which was maturing in March, that we attracted 1 year ago for $500 million. So you see in terms of net money, we had minus 500 and plus 400 million.
Understood, thank you. And out of your cash on the balance sheet, what percentage of that is held in foreign currency?
We don't have this actually now with us. I think we can just come back to you and say this because not in our hands.
Great, thank you. And just one final question for me. So you mentioned that your Russian accounting standards capital ratios don't include Q4 profit yet. How much is that going to add to the ratios?
We are expecting it will add about 40-50 BP.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now take our next question from Alvin Chu from Trent Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, hi, Vladimir. Hi, Eric. I just want to get clarification so that I know I understand it completely. So for the three problem loans, the first one is to an industrial construction company, and this company has already defaulted, and you have classified it as NPL. Have you made a specific provision for this? And then for the other two situations, the pharmaceutical company and the infrastructure construction company, have they defaulted or they're just 30 days past due, right? So have you made, again, the question is, what are you doing on that front, and have you made specific provisions for this two companies? And then my next question is on the net interest margin, but please address this question first.
Yes, hello Alan. Look, answering your question once again, just to make some clarification, these three borrowers are from different segments. The first one is infrastructure construction. So this company was in impaired loans and it came to the NPLs. In terms of provisions, we see now that the current provisions are fair, and so the provisions we made on the year end are fair, and the bank will not have some extra losses. The second one is a car dealer. So maybe this is kind of the misunderstanding. The car dealer, which is suffering now and which lost all the contracts with the car producers, and maybe you saw the information that CBM and some other banks decided to go to the court with this company. So also we had some provisions, some specific provisions. They are quite high, and we are also thinking that these provisions are covering our potential losses. And the last one is the pharmaceutical company. The ticket is quite big, and also there is a specific provision. So this company is not in the list of the, let's say, usual provisions. And as I said, potentially the bank may increase the provisions in this company this year, and potentially it can be one of the main, let's say, sources for the provisions this year. But it's still a bit uncertainty because it will depend on the situation, on the financial situation with this company, which we will see on half year 2018. So it's quite important for us what will be the trend in this company.
So for the later two cases, the pharmaceutical and the car dealer, they're still impaired, but they have not been reclassified as NPLs, or they have already been reclassified?
The car dealer is in NPL, is in NPL list and impaired. Yeah, the car dealer is impaired list, but I think on the first quarter it will be already in NPL. But when we are talking about the pharmaceutical company, it's just impaired but not overdue, and we are not expecting this company will be overdue. The loans of this company will be overdue.
Sorry, Vladimir. So for these three companies, specific provisions have been made, or just general?
Specific for all these three companies, the provisions are specific. Yes.
Okay.
So it's on the individual. It's on the individual basis.
Okay. All right. Individual. Okay. And for the first one, the infrastructure construction company, what are you doing? I mean, you mentioned just now that you are working with the company and it could be sale of something. Are you reprofiling their rescheduling their repayments, or are you looking to sell, you know, the security or the collateral? What are you doing on that front?
No, the question is that we are now working on the situation. Can be that they repay the loan with some discount, or it can be the sale of this loan also with some discount. But anyway, this discount is covered by the provisions we already made, so we're not expecting some extra pressure from this loan on our capital.
Okay. Right. And for the pharmaceutical company, what are you doing on that front? You're discussing with the company, again, to reschedule the payments, or what are you doing?
No, the situation is that the company had quite aggressive and active investments they made during the last 3-4 years, and due to the fact that the Russian economy just faced some issues and there was a decrease of the activity from the consumer demand, the company also faced some issues. And now we had no rescheduling, so now the loans we have with the company are paying on time, but also we have to bear in mind the fact that without our, let's say, support, the company potentially can have some troubles. So operational model is quite simple, so they're just buying the medicine and selling them, but at the same time, currently company, as I said, they made many investments, and not all of these investments gave them some success. At the same time, I just want to mention that you should not forget that 15% in this pharmaceutical company, 15% shareholder is Wolverine Boots Alliance, and of course, they know what is the situation with the company, and also they are a bit part of the discussion what can be the future of the company.
And this one has already been classified as impaired or NPL? Sorry,
as impaired, yes. Actually, in the Yeah, in the last quarter of last year, it was classified as impaired. Yes, correct. Actually, there is the only reason why impaired loans was increased.
And my second question relates to the net interest margin. Obviously, your net interest margin has trended down, and it's because of a focus on repos. Now, going into this year, and given the fact that Russian interest rates are low, how do you intend to actually generate higher net interest margin, or do you expect net interest margin to be at these levels or decline further?
We're expecting it to be stable on the current levels, maybe with a slight decrease. It will depend, of course, on how fast and rapid will be central bank in terms of decreasing the key rate. So if it will be the level which now is, let's say, market consensus, of course, in this case, we are expecting that the margin will be stable with a slight decrease. If CBR will be more aggressive, which we are not expecting, of course, it can be more, it can have more pressure on the margin. But it will be, of course, the situation which all the market, all the banking system will face.
I'm thinking you can actually ramp up your corporate lending, right? I mean, as in like corporate loans to actually, raise your net interest margin. Or you're not looking to do that, right?
You know, when they're talking about the corporate lending, of course, it's a two sides of one coin. You know, because on one hand, of course, there is a higher margin than, for example, in some other businesses potentially, and it looks like it's more predictable. But at the same time, as we said before many times, the competition is quite high, and many borrowers are absolutely in a position that after every decrease of the key rate, they started the process of making an auction with all the banks they have as lenders and tried to get the best price. So maybe 2 years ago, it was only preference of bigger tickets. But now even even medium companies also start to do it and trying to manage the cost of funds and using the high competition on the banking sector.
All right. Thank you, Vladimir. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Alan Webborn from Societe Generale. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. Thanks for the call. Could you just talk us through the sort of the 4Q performance on a sort of line-by-line basis? And clearly, your net interest income jumped quite nicely in Q4, and the sort of loan balances seem to be relatively sort of stable or actually down a little bit from what I can see. So could you just talk us through the dynamics of Q4 in relation to the net interest income? And it looks a little bit as if the margin might have gone up a bit in Q4. And I guess that was probably the cost of funding coming down. But could you just talk us through the dynamics of that? I think you talked about a one-off gain in Q4 from the sale of your Irish leasing business. Am I right that came in other income? If so, how much was that? That would be helpful. Two other questions. Does the sort of 2% plus cost of risk in 2018 include the likely future provisions for your pharma company exposure or not? And clearly after, I think your corporate loan growth in 2017 was, if anything, a little bit higher than you were targeting. And are you able to give us an indication about, what sort of balance sheet loan growth you think is possible for 2018? Are there any constraints other than competition? Just to give us an idea of after a very strong year in 2017, where you think you might be able to go. And also, do you feel that the shrinkage of the retail book is finished, or you know, we see on a sort of sector basis that demand for retail lending is clearly picking up. I think you sort of mentioned something on that in the past, but clearly balances are still falling. So something on that would also be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. I will start with a couple of last questions, and after this I will give the floor to Eric. So in terms of the forecast for this year, in terms of the growth of the corporate book, we are expecting, high single-digit growth. So I think the 10% it's potentially achievable, but with the current, first of all, competition and also what we saw in the first quarter, which already almost finished and will finish in a couple of days, so that there is no some fantastic results which we can share with you. So the growth will be much more slower than you saw in 2017. In terms of the retail lending, I just want to tell you that in a few weeks, actually on next week, we have a strategic session, internal strategic session about the retail business, about the forecasts, about the future. And actually the key idea of this session is just to also to answer the question you just asked me. So we are in a position just to reverse it or not, because maybe you remember about 1 year ago I thought that it's a time to do it, it's a time to reverse the situation and start to lend actively in terms of the retail segment, retail business, but business was not ready, and it was their choice and their decision to concentrate more on the fee income products and commission products than just to pure lending. And we really, my position now just is that they were more right and more correct, because the result which was showed by the retail segment last year was very good, and the quality of their retail book is really better than we expected. So the answer will be soon, I think, on the next call. Of course, we'll be happy to share it with you, and we'll be happy to share with you the strategic, the pillars of the strategic ideas which we have in the retail book, in the retail segment.
Okay, thank you.
So the first question was about...
Yes, so regarding the fourth quarter, so definitely, if you look at the bottom line, so I mean the net profit is weaker than during the previous quarters. So let's say among the positive items, what I mentioned, so we still have, let's say, a good dynamic of commission income. If you look, let's say, over the quarters, and for us, it's really a priority to continue to increase, let's say, the part of fee and commission income in the total operating income. So this is, let's say, for next year also a target. We are, let's say, putting pressure on the bottom line is definitely additional cost of risk. If you look, let's say, at the fourth quarter, so we had, let's say, additional provisions, mostly due to the fact, as I said, to the three customers we mentioned, let's say, before. So it's not, let's say, a trend of, let's say, quality degradation overall. It's more, let's say, on dedicated exposure, but at least, as Vladimir was mentioning, so we took, let's say, a provision for this year. So we estimate that the coverage is okay, and the impact at least of two out of the three customers from 18 should be really limited. On retail, you saw that we see, let's say, a real improvement of quality, and the cost of risk also decreased. So let's say in the negative, it's first, it's the cost of risk, and also in the expenses. So as we mentioned, especially on the salary and employment costs, with, let's say, bonuses which were paid last year, it was not paid, let's say, 2 years before, in 2015-16, plus, let's say, increasing headcount on the investment banking division. So now, if you look, let's say, at the split of fee and commission income, you see that the brokerage operation now is growing, let's say, for this year, and it's We anticipate that, let's say, the investment banking division will be one of the main contributors of fee and commission income in the future. So, I mean, this is for the fourth quarter. On top of this, you see, which is also not standard, and the slight decrease of the corporate loan book, let's say, from the end of September to the end of December. So it's a stagnation, which is due to the fact that we had, let's say, credit coming to maturity in December, and it also, let's say, put pressure on the interest income.
Okay, but I mean, what I can see, your interest income was up quite nicely in Q4, unless I've got something wrong. So, what was driving that sort of sequentially? I mean, is it lower funding costs?
As I mentioned, so the funding cost is definitely, in the context of CBR decreasing the key rate, let's say the deposit repricing is faster than the credit repricing, and we really benefit from this.
Okay, so on a stagnating loan book, the net interest income trend was mainly from lower funding costs in Q4,
exactly.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the main
okay.
impact.
And are you able to tell me how much the one-off gain was, and was it in other income?
Yes. So you can see it on the item other operating income expenses. So I mean, at the end of December, we sold the SPV through which we were, let's say, owning and giving to leasing 6 aircraft. So in terms of impact on the P&L, it was roughly plus 1 billion ruble.
Okay, that's very helpful.
Generated by this sale.
Okay, super. And the last thing was the sort of slightly over 2% risk cost for 2018. Do they include potential further provisions for the pharma company that you alluded to earlier, or is it before that?
Yeah, as I said, the potential provision which we should make for this company, if we should make it for the company, for the loan, they included. I also said this, that one of the drivers why it will be almost no decrease of the cost of risk in 2018 comparing to 2017.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Henrique Murat from Aberdeen Standard Investments. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. Good afternoon. Just a follow-up question on the retail side, but more on the funding side. Just conceptually, not just talking about the results, but what is your view on, potentially increasing the share of retail deposits in your funding mix, and potentially also tying that with an increase on the asset side? My point is just trying to understand how you see retail versus corporate, in the sense that, corporate has been great for you guys, but I think this quarter shows that when things go wrong, results can be a bit lumpy on the NPL front, and also the funding side gets a bit concentrated. So what are your thoughts on potentially diversifying the funding mix as well as the asset side? That would be interesting to hear that from you. And then I have another question. Thank you.
Good evening or good afternoon, Enrique. So look, answering your question about the retail, I just want to repeat what I said in terms of the strategy of retail and what we want to see from the retail. I think I really prefer to share this with you on the next call, or if somebody wants to talk about this maybe in a month on a bilateral call, because it will just really depend on the brainstorm we have in a couple of weeks and the results of the brainstorm. So this is number one. Number two, in terms of the funding, of course, the funding from the retail side is currently it's uh, uh, it it became really the same in terms of price as, for example, the corporate book, because it was really a different time in last year. Some months we have we had corporate more expensive. Some months we had retail more expensive. So, but now currently they almost equal. But at the same time, as we also said that, as we also saw that the retail really more stable than corporate. And of course, when there was quite a turbulent time last year in September, October, the retail book was let's say more stable, and we spent really less time to talk to the customers about the stability of the bank. In terms of combination of retail and corporate deposits, I think that there will be no big change, because retail deposits, they are much more, it's not so easy to just to decide to increase it rapidly and do it, because it's a big volume of the customers, and if after you make a decision, you should just wait for 2-3 months until the people will start to be more active with your bank. So it's more, it's less, my full English. So you are understood, I hope. And if I'm talking about the corporate, of course, it's much easier just to be active, let's say, in this market, and it's much more about the rate. So if you just want to be more active in this market, you can just provide a bit higher price, like 10 DP, for example, to the corporate customers, and they will come to you. They are very cynical and very, let's say,
pragmatic,
yes.
Yeah, okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Thanks for that. And we can talk about retail in general later. And then just a final question. Sorry, probably you've had this question many times before, but on the subordinated deposits that you got from corporate clients last quarter, the terms of these subordinated deposits are similar to the tier two bonds, so 10-year deposits.
No, the deposits we raised last quarter, they have term 49 years, so it's much longer than
49.
Okay. Yeah, 49. Actually, this information was public, so if you just will find it in the internet, or we can send you the link, and you can find all the terms, like a tenor, like the rates, etc. So it's easy.
And okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's pari passu to all other subordinated, tier 2 subordinated debt.
Perfect. Right, thank you.
Thank you as well.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Nick Dimitrov from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. I just want to check on a couple of things. So the first one is, if we look at the N11 capital ratio under Russian accounting standards as of February 1st, it's 8.7%. You did say that it's going to increase by roughly 40 to 50 basis points if we incorporate the profits in Q4 2017. Is it fair to assume that the bank will not upstream any profits as dividends to the holding company?
Hi. So look, we are not expecting that potentially it will be dividends, but of course I want to mention that it will be the decision and recommendation from the supervisory board to the shareholders. But if you ask about my voice, which will be on the supervisory board, mm-hmm. I will not recommend, of course, to pay dividends to the shareholders, because for the bank now it's much more important to keep the figures, of course, especially N11, on a higher level than the minimum level which we have from 1st of January next year. And of course that in this case will be absolutely not pragmatic and not wise to if we just pay dividends to the shareholders.
So hypothetically the 40 to 50 basis points could be lower if the board decides to upstream some of the profits as dividends to the holdco, right?
Of course, look, just let's count. So 8.7, as you said, correct? So let's just imagine 0.5% is 9.2. Of course, we can talk about this with the board, but I'm not sure if I can just share this with you, because it's really, in terms of corporate governance, not very correct to ask me the questions like this now in March. But my gut feeling that, of course, will be, let's say, not pragmatic, as I said, to pay dividends to the shareholders, especially in the situation when there is some changes in the regulation from 1st of January, as I said, and the minimum level will be 8%, and just 1% is not such a big buffer,
Got it. And on a kind of slightly separate note, so the Russian press talked about, I believe it was a $25 billion, ruble loan to O1 properties that got moved from the bank to the holding company. Can you walk us through the rationale for the transaction and how the actual transaction was structured from an accounting point of view and how the holding company funded potentially the acquisition of that loan?
Mm-hmm. Look, of course, there was some information in the media, and actually there was an interview of our majority shareholder, Mr. Avdeev, who also confirmed this. So look, just once again, there was a loan. The loan was sold to the holding company. The bank didn't give any ruble to the holding company to fund this transaction. The rationale was, I just can't say once again what Roman Avdeev said, that in terms of the next, in terms of the, all the procedures which holding want to have with this loan, of course, it's much better to have this loan not on the balance sheet of the bank, because these procedures can really raise raise the provisions both on the RAS and the IFRS, which of course not good for the bank, and that's why the shareholders, the majority shareholders, decided to support, let's say, to support the bank in this way, and just to protect the bank from some extra provisions on the way to getting this loan back.
Okay. I just want to make sure that there wasn't any funding from, that the bank didn't fund the holding company for the acquisition of that loan. And my last question is going to be on your risky assets exposure. And when I say risky assets, I refer to the way the rating agencies described them. It was kind of a cause for one of your downgrades recently. And I know that you have an ambitious plan to kind of, you know, bring those down, to bring them, if I remember correctly, below 100 billion ruble. Can you give us an update where you are? If I remember correctly, that the pharma company was one of those risky exposures.
I think it's not also quite fair now to say something about this currently, because I think that rating agencies can have some another opinion, so they can classify some other assets as risky. So I think that it's much better to talk about this on a bilateral level, because not to, let's say, share this with a big public area. But at the same time, I just want to say some words about this anyway. So we are, of course, we are working on this, and you're absolutely right that, for example, a pharma company was in this list and still in this list. But at the same time, the loan we just spoke about, 25 billion, it was also, seems to me, in this, it was in this list. So we can say that somehow it's going down, and number of other loans were also repaid. Actually, I think that there will be a chance for us to talk again to agencies, especially to the agency you just spoke about, and just to move their eyes to the situation, if the situation will be better, and what we see now is better, so we just really improved, and maybe just ask them to estimate again the potential losses which they think the bank can have in the future, and maybe they will change their opinion and do some positive steps. But just, you know, once again, want to underline that's all in their hands and in their minds, so we just can give them more deep information. We can give them some new information because time is going, so maybe they will have some other view.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now take our next question from Dennis Provey from Raiffeisen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. Thanks for the presentation. My question relates to the your exposure to non-banking financial institutions nominated in rubles and in amount of 729 billion rubles as of end of previous year. With the same exposure, almost the same exposure, same size we saw a year before. So it looks like you are rolling some credit to the financial institutions, which is not rated, which is not a bank. These financial institutions, as we see from your IFRS on page 82, is ready to take these funds at a rate much above market level, at about 10.7%, whereas market level was at that time 8.1%. And my question is, what is the collateral you're taking against this loan, and why are you rolling with exposure and not show it as a credit, and why it's not you are not using national clearing center as intermediator for this exposure to limit your credit risk. And my second question is about your liability.
One by one. It's better just to answer one by one. In terms of your question about this exposure, so since we answered this question a couple of times before, so if you're talking about this, as you said, borrowers, this is repo transactions, which collateral inside is the triple B minus or higher rated instruments, and I mean by the international rating agencies. And if you are talking about the risk profile, so this risk profile is covered by the collateral, but not much more often by the collateral, but not by the quality of the borrower. This is number one. Number two, in terms of the National Clearing Center, you're absolutely right that when you said that, of course, the prices are higher, and if you are talking about NKC, in this case, of course, the prices can be lower, and this is number one. Number two, as you know, National Clearing Center is quite profitable organization, but why it's profitable? Because they have quite big fees which they're taking for every transaction, and that's why, of course, there is another rationale why it's much more efficient to work on the bilateral basis.
Okay, yeah, so you don't see any credit risk in this respect if your counterparty with financial institutions defaults on this debt. You will receive this collateral and you will be able to sell this collateral and get cash without any past moments, yeah?
Of course, because all the transactions we have, they're making with all the rules which we have in Russia when you're making a deal on the Moscow exchange. So that's why you know this. I think and I hope you know all these rules. So they are protecting both sides, so the lenders and the borrowers. So we're not expecting that. Let's say we have some risk in terms of not getting this collateral in case if our borrower will fail.
Okay, and why is your financial counterparty is not taking this money from National Clearing Center where this money would be cheaper? They are not efficient, or there are another reason?
I think it's not a question about their efficiency, it's much more the question about the limits, because you know that NKC also have their limits and they're not in a position to give this kind of amounts maybe to these borrowers. Maybe this is the reason.
Okay. My second question relates to your liability side. You had dollar debt to banks in amount 260 billion rubles in ruble equivalent. And I see from your IFRS that you swap with debt into rubles. So would you your rolling with facility, would you please elaborate on counterparties for this swap And what is the reason to take dollars to then swap them into rubles? In my view, it's not too efficient.
You know, it really depends on the situation. Sometimes it's really more efficient to do something like this because some of the counterparties, they have extra dollars which they can really give on a cheaper price if we are just trying to get the rubles from the same counterparty. If you are talking about the swap counterparties, this is the full range of the international banks, so usual suspects, and I think it's not very correct to say the names, but just all the banks from the street,
so,
which we just...
Okay, report. Okay. Yeah. What I see from your Russian accounting standards, you
yeah.
take dollars from local banks, and then you swap these dollars with foreign counterparties into rubles, is it correct?
If you're talking about this, yes, of course, they also can do it.
Ah, so you take rubles from your now foreign counterparties. Okay.
Maybe. If you're asking some kind of the particular questions, I think just we can answer to you these questions, let's say, more direct, because otherwise I think that it's better just to look more deep in your question.
Okay. Thank you a lot.
Thank you as well.
Thank you. We will now take our last question from Marina Daviev from Amundi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much for the call. Just a quick question on the N11. You are saying that your assets, your lending is going to grow about 10% or under in 2018. So how would that reflect in the N11? Are your risk-weighted assets going to grow at the same pace? And what else do you plan to do to improve your N11?
Good afternoon, Marina. Answering your question, I want to say that just first of all, the current level of N11, it's, let's say, comfortable for the management. So we're not thinking that with the extra profit from the fourth quarter, it looks like it should be, let's say, more stronger and stronger, because we also should think about our shareholders, and we also should think about the money they have from the bank, even without the dividends, but just in the form of the ROE they see. In terms of your question, we think that, let's say, 10%, as you said, this is the growth of our loan book. But if you're asking about RWA, I think it will be also the same level, because we are not see that it should be lower or higher. In terms of profitability of the bank in 2018, we also think that the profit of the bank and ROE of the bank should be and will be in line with the ROE of last year. So just taking all these parts in one basket, we can just say that the profitability of the bank will be higher than the growth of the bank.
And this is going to be true in the Russian accounting terms as well, because this is where you capitalize your profit, right?
Yeah, of course. If you're talking about Russian accounting standards, it's as well. I expect that that profitability will be in line with the last year.
Mm-hmm. And so the buffer, when you reach, say, 9.2, this is kind of the right buffer which you think you want to have.
No, seems to me, I answered this question many times on a bilateral basis to many investors. So we think that 8.5%, this is the level which is, let's say, comfortable for the management of the bank. That's why we want to keep it on this level. Even if it will be close to 8%, we think that on different, let's say, situations, if there is some business activity, short-term business activity, and we see that it will be profitable, of course. In this case, it can be 8.25, for example. But if you're talking about this year, when we're talking about 2019, of course, after the minimum level will be 8%, we think that, so 8.5% is kind of a comfortable level.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Thank you very much. This will conclude today's question and answer session. If you have further questions, please contact your hosts via email to ask further questions. Again, please send an email to your host to ask your further questions. I would now like to turn the call back to you, sir.
We want to say thanks to everybody who was on this call with us today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the questions. And, of course, once again, want to repeat that if somebody has some extra questions or want to discuss something later, of course, we will be happy to talk about this and to answer to your questions and hear you in 3 months on our first quarter financial results, or even maybe, yeah, in a 2 months. Yes, in a 2 months. It will be one quarter review, first quarter review. Once again, thanks to everybody and have a good rest of the day.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.